Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. If you have your Bible, open up to John chapter 21. I'll give you a quick second to get there. John 21. You can keep playing for me, David. If you're there, say, yes, sir. If you need a second, say, hold up. Okay. We'll wait. Scripture will also be on the screens. I like to hear those Bibles flapping. It's a good thing. John chapter 21, starting in verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. When the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore, and it was full of large fish. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have some breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we say thank you for your word. And God, I thank you for the word that you've given me today. Father, I pray that it will stir the hearts of many. God, that it will create a moment that you will move in us, Father. Through the revelation and the teaching of your word, God, I pray that many souls today will be saved and brought back to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You guys can have a seat. I'm gonna tell you something really weird about myself but I need you to make me a promise. I need you to promise that you won't tell anybody else and you won't make fun of me later, all right? I know some of y'all, you're lying right now. Like, you're like, yeah, let's hear it. So I have this really weird thing that for as long as I can remember, I have this, let me use the right word here. I have this thing that I do where I smell things, all right? Okay, I know it's already weird, okay? But as long as I can remember, I've always liked to smell things, okay? When I was a kid, there are actually pictures of me walking around with a roll of Charmin, and I would just like be walking around and smelling the Charmin. I know this is weird, but I've always smelled things, and now, even now, Dale's laughing because he knows where I'm going. He's caught me doing this. Even still to this day, you can catch me from time to time like just smelling my shirt or something. I know it's really weird. Y'all are like, okay, we're leaving. I don't know why. It's just always been like smell has always been something for me that has been a really heightened sense for me, a heightened awareness. And so I don't know if this is true of you, if you've ever had a situation where you've walked into something or you've had this moment where you smelled something and instantaneously it took you back to another place in your past. Has that ever happened to you before? And maybe it's not smell. Maybe for you, it's something that you saw. Maybe it's a person you saw or a picture or a scene. Maybe it's something like that. Or maybe it's something that you've tasted and you're like, oh man, this reminds me of home. Or this reminds me of that time I went to Italy and or whatever that might be. Have you had an experience where one of your senses like that has just immediately taken you back to a place where you've been before? And it leads you to say this phrase like, man, I remember when. And you tell a little bit of a story of a place that you were where the smell or this sight or this taste or this feel has led you directly back to. I think many of us can really connect to that. And for me, there's a few moments in my life that's really been the case. For me, one of the most telling and one of the most prominent times for me is when I ride by something and all of a sudden I smell the smell of a burnt house. When I was 9 years old in 1989, I've shared this story with you before. I was at a piano lesson and my uncle came to get me in the middle of it. He takes me home and as we pull up to my house, I see this line of cars and smoke billowing out of my house and a pool of people standing in front watching my house burn. And the next day, I remember going back, and they gave us a chance to walk through the burned down rubble. And I remember just this distinctive smell that was different. It wasn't like you burned leaves. It wasn't like you burned your popcorn. It wasn't like a barrel fire. Like there was just something unique and distinct in this smell. That as I went through my room and I lifted up baseball cards and things like that that had been ruined, and anytime I go by a house or something that I just catch a twinge of that smell, immediately I'm right back in that moment as a 9-year-old boy walking through the rubble of one of the most devastating moments of my life. And I'm sure many of you can relate to things like this. Maybe for you it is smell. Maybe it's the smell of a meal that takes you right back to this incredible meal that your grandmama made at her kitchen. Or maybe it's the smell when you walk into a doctor's office or a hospital that takes you right back to that gray hallway in a hospital where you said goodbye to a family member. Maybe for you, it's not smell. Maybe it's a sight. Maybe it's something that you see that just immediately, almost like this crazy like time warp where you're just immediately standing right back in that spot when you were a kid. Maybe it's a ball game with your dad. You hear the crack of a bat and right then you're sitting back at an old ball game with dad or granddad. There's something really interesting about these senses that we have that when we touch and we see and we taste and we feel things that all of a sudden it just takes us right back to a moment in our past. Some good, some things we wish we could forget. For some of you, you ride by and you see the scene of a waterfall and it reminds you of the waterfall that you got engaged at or got married at. For others, you see different things or you hear a name that reminds you of a person from your past. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. And so I want to take this concept today, and I want to show you that there's just something in this story that I just read to you about this moment that Peter walks through that I want to just show you about maybe how all these senses come back. And today, I hope that the Holy Spirit of God will in some way, whether it be smell, touch, feel, taste, would by the power of the Holy Spirit take you back to a moment today, maybe multiple moments today. A little context for what we read. Peter is a disciple of Jesus and he's walked for 3 years with Jesus. He had just recently sat in an upper room where Jesus told them that he was gonna die. And then Jesus was arrested and Peter told Jesus, I'll be with you. And then Jesus said, nah, homie, you're gonna deny me 3 times. And then Peter actually does that. He denies Jesus 3 times. Then Jesus is put on trial. He's crucified. He's hung on a cross. He died. paid the price for our sin. He was buried. And then he's actually resurrected 3 days later. And Peter is one of those people who actually went to the tomb. And then along the way, Jesus showed himself to Peter. And then another time along this, Peter is amongst a group of disciples who are hiding out in the upper room because they were afraid they were going to be found out and chased out. And Jesus walked through a wall and Peter saw him there. And so this is not the first time that Peter's had an interaction with Jesus since he's been resurrected. But all that's important, and it all leads back to this place where we're going to walk through this story. And so I just want to, I'm not going to read it to you again, but just so you have the context, Peter and some of his friends, they go back out fishing, and they're fishing, and ultimately one of them sees Jesus, and he says, "That's the Lord." And Peter, when he realizes it, he puts on his clothes and jumps out of the boat, which has always been kind of weird to me. You know, you put on your clothes to get out of the boat. All right, cool. He does that, and then he swims to the shore. He has this quick conversation with Jesus. Jesus sends him back to the boat to grab some fish, and then they have breakfast. And so you've got all of this, and in a lot of ways, you can just read that, and you're like, okay, cool. Well, Jesus showed back up. But this week, as I was preparing and I was spending some time asking the Lord, because today's a bit of a one-off message. We've got some things planned coming over the next few weeks, but sometimes I just spend some time with the Lord and say, "Lord, what do you have for your people this week?" And I'll be very honest with you. He was not very forthcoming with me a lot this week. But as I sat at a Panera on Friday morning, the Lord brought me to this place, and it was actually sitting at a Panera and the smell of bread that kind of like the Lord used this to put in my heart. And so as you take this story, and here's what I want to share with you today. We're not going to be together very long. I know some of y'all, you're shocked. For others of you, it's all good. When I say not very long, I just mean an hour and a half. No big deal, right? As I considered this moment in Peter's life, that idea of all of these senses and this way that miraculously almost we just go right back to moments that we've been in, I had a flashback as I read through this through all of Peter's life. And it just led me to a place of wondering, I wonder if Peter had some of these same flashbacks in this moment as he had this scene play out in front of him. And I thought today it might just maybe do us a little good to have some flashbacks over Peter's life, because this moment is powerful, and then it leads directly to another moment that I think maybe just might lead us to a moment today. And so I just sat and I wondered, and I wanted to share with you today about some of these feelings and these ways in which maybe we just snap right back to a moment. And as Peter has walked this journey, I just wonder if here in this moment, as Peter goes back to the boat to fish, if all of a sudden he wasn't just taken right back in his mind to where he was as a boy and even a young man, and ultimately to the place where Jesus called him to follow him. I just wonder if when Peter goes back out to fish, if his mind went to that place where Jesus meets him and Jesus says, "Hey, I want to call you out of this. I want to call you to be a follower of mine." And I just wonder if Peter had that glimpse of that moment where he saw Jesus and he got called into ministry to follow Jesus. I wonder if then when his friend John has this moment where he recognizes that that's Jesus and he calls out, "It is Jesus." I wonder if Peter in that moment flashed right back to a boat that was in a stormy sea where he had been riding with his friends, and all of a sudden they saw what they thought to be a ghost, and he crawls out and he says, "Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come out to you." And Jesus says, "It is me, come out." And I just wonder if in that moment that Peter was right back in that boat about to take those wild, crazy steps of faith where he saw what he thought was a ghost, he said it was Jesus, and then all of a sudden he's about to walk on water. And I wonder as I'm sharing these thoughts with you and these moments in Peter's life that you might consider some of the moments of your journey as well. That as I'm teaching you God's word and I'm showing you all of these moments, that God might bring you to a flashback of a moment in your journey as well. And then I told you how Peter put on the garment and he jumped out of the boat. I wonder if then as he hit the water and he was submerged in that water, if all of a sudden his heart and his mind went right back to that place where then he actually did step out of the boat in the stormy seas, trusting Jesus, actually walking on the water, which is crazy. And then in a moment of doubt, in a moment of confusion, he takes his eyes off Jesus and he falls into the water, submerged, where Jesus then has to reach down and save him. I wonder if he just went right back to that place. And then I wonder, as he finally comes out of the water and he hits the land, and maybe he puts a hand on one of those rocks. I just wonder if in that moment when he touched one of the rocks, if his heart and his mind went right back to that place known as the gates of Hades, where then for the very first time, Peter proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus says to him that on that truth, I will build my church. And he changed Peter's name from Simon to Cephas, which is translated Peter, rock. And that he would be reminded, and in that very moment, Jesus basically gave him the keys to the kingdom and said, this is the truth in which I will build my church on. I just wonder if as he touched that rock, he was reminded of his name and his story and where it came from and the promise that Jesus made to him in that moment. And then as he climbs onto the shore, he walks up to this fire. And I wonder if the smell of that fire led him right back to be in that moment, that night that Jesus was taken into custody. And the Bible says that Peter stood over a fire in that moment. And in that moment, three times denied Jesus. Most likely the first one within earshot of Jesus himself. And I just wonder if there's a moment where he smelled that fire and his mind and his heart went right back to that place of one of the moments that he regretted the most. Where this man who was full of faith and bold told Jesus himself, I won't deny you. And then he did. And then Jesus sent him back out into the water to get the fish. And I just can only imagine, I can only wonder that if Peter goes out and he pulls in that net and he's starting to pull in this whole net of fish and he's grabbing the fish, I just wonder if in that moment Peter's mind went back to that time when Jesus called him out to follow him and Jesus said this thing. He said, hey, I'm going to make you not fishers of fish, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. And as Peter just pulls in that haul, I wonder if all of the other moments in the last 3 years that Peter watched Jesus perform miracle after miracle, saw him teach lesson after lesson, and then saw him die, and then saw him resurrected. I just wonder if all of these moments that Peter got a chance to encounter with God's people, that he had this moment where he realized that he really was called to be a fisher of men, and there was a haul of men and women and children that Peter had played a part in bringing into the fold. I just wonder if Peter had this revelation in these moments. And then Jesus says to him, come and have breakfast with me. And then Jesus breaks the bread and gives it to him. And I just wondered as I thought through this, if in that moment as Peter took that bread and he started to eat, if his heart and his mind didn't go right back to that upper room, where Jesus would take the Passover meal with his disciples, where he would tell them that in just a couple of hours, I'm gonna die, and then I'm gonna be raised again. And he gave the bread to them, and he said, take and eat, and remember, this is my body broken for you. In a prophetic way, Jesus told him what was gonna happen. They didn't understand it, but now looking back, Jesus gives Peter this bread again. I just wonder if his heart and his mind and even in his body, he just went right back to that place in the upper room where he took that bread and he ate of Christ's blood and he drank of Christ's blood in his body and just didn't even realize the gravity of that moment until now. And then finally, the Bible's really clear to point out that this was the third time that Peter had seen Jesus since he had been resurrected. And I just wonder if all of the weight of the number three finally just hit Peter in this one moment. The idea that Peter had been a boy raised in a Jewish tradition that would understand who Abba is, who God the Father is. And then he got to walk for 3 years with Jesus, God's one and only Son. And then just a few days before this, Jesus had actually breathed the breath of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, onto Peter, that Peter would recognize this triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, three persons in one essence, and he would have an understanding of the fullness of God as best he could with the idea of three. I wonder if this idea of three continued on where he would understand that it was 3 days that Jesus would be in the tomb and then he would see him live again. And then no doubt, Peter in his heart would recognize that it was three times in the matter of moments that he denied who Jesus was. And I just wonder if in this moment, Peter sees Jesus for the third time and a full revelation of all of these things comes to Peter's understanding. And these are all things that as I sat and I read this text, I had these just flashback moments in Peter's life. And it just led me to a place where I just wanted to lead you to today. And my sweat's like popping out my mic here a little bit. Sorry. So for you, I go back to the same thing I started with. I just wonder, has there ever been moments in your life where a sight, a smell, a taste, a feel has taken you right back to a place? Right now, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will start to take you back to some of those places. No doubt some of them are low lights in your life. And I pray he will also encourage you to remind you of some of the triumphs and the highlights of your life that you've gotten to experience. I wonder if right now, if the Holy Spirit is actually taking you on a journey in your head, in your heart, and in your spirit along your journey with Jesus as well. Just like I tried to lead you through with Peter, I wonder if you've had these moments where Jesus encountered you for the very first time and he called you out of whatever it was that you were in and he said, come and follow me. I wonder if there's been moments of you where Jesus called you to trust him and to step out in faith and figuratively speaking, walk on water by faith. I wonder if along your journey, has there been moments where you've turned your back on Jesus, where like Peter, you denied him and you walked your own way, trying for self-preservation or to do whatever it was that you wanted. What were some of those moments? Like Peter, when he watched Jesus die, I wonder if you can go right back to some of those moments where you thought everything in your life had been lost. Every good thing that you thought you had built up and earned was taken away from you. I wonder if right now you can go back to the moment where through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was knocking on the door of your heart, helping you recognize that you were separated from him because you're a sinner. And he was, through the power of the Holy Spirit, trying to draw you, knocking on your heart, saying, son, daughter, I want you to come home. I want you to repent of your sin. I want you to turn away from your way. I want you to follow me. And if you go back to that moment, if you're anything like me, I remember for weeks, every time the Holy Spirit would prompt my heart in that moment, and I would have an invitation put in front of me. Man, I would white knuckle the pew in front of me. I would hold on to the seat in front of me, and I would just hope and pray that they would finish, and I'd ride it out. And then I'd go home, and then I was right back in that place of saying, why didn't I give in? Why didn't I surrender? Why did I just hold on to that pew? I know God wants me to give in and surrender to him. Why? And then I'm like, God, I hope you'll give me another chance. And then the very next week, I'm given that same chance again, and I do the exact same thing. I don't know if you've ever been in that place. And so here's the invitation for you today. I need you to understand that all of the things that Peter encountered up until this moment There's one thing that separates all of those other things. One thing. The one thing that separates all of those moments with this is the fact that Jesus died and he spilled his blood to pay the price for Peter's sin and for yours and mine. That the blood Jesus spilled, that when he hung on the cross, he paid the price for Peter's sin. And here's the thing, he had given Peter all kinds of favor along his journey. But there's a difference between favor and grace. Here's the thing I need you to see. And this is why I went to all of the lengths to try to help you imagine in your mind Peter's journey, so that at the same time, you can go through a journey in your own mind, in your own heart today as well. Of all the things that you've seen and experienced, the good and the bad, that there is a separation that has happened for you. And although maybe things have gone great in your life, there is a separation that's the same one for Peter. And it's the fact that Jesus died for you. They paid the price for your sin, just like he did for Peter. And Peter has this moment, and ultimately, he has this meal with Jesus, and he has all this come back to him in my mind. At least this is the way I'm seeing it. And he sits and has this meal with Jesus, and then something happens. With all the hurt and all of the things that Peter had navigated, here he was in this one moment with Jesus, with probably all that having run through his mind. And then Jesus pulls him aside to have a private conversation. And so today, I just want to lovingly, pastorally pull you aside for just a quick second and have a conversation with you. You see, because Peter had turned away from the Lord, and there needed to be restoration. There needed to be forgiveness. And I don't know if that's part of your story. It's certainly part of mine. There were times when I knew Jesus and I still acted foolishly. And there are still times in my life when I have to repent and turn and come back to him. But Jesus gave Peter an opportunity to be restored. And the thing that separates this moment for Peter, and it separates it for you right now, this very moment as well, is the blood of Christ Jesus that was spilled to forgive you, to reconcile you to God the Father, to make you right, to give you grace, which is unmerited favor. You didn't deserve it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Even praying a prayer, you didn't earn it. It is a free gift that God is willingly giving you. But you must receive it. The same invitation he gave Peter, I want to give to you today, which is to be restored, to be made right with him, to allow the blood of Jesus to cover you, to forgive you, to bless you, and to right now restore you to him. Here's this moment with Peter and Jesus. This is in John 21, the very next verse. Verse 15, it says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he's not talking about other people. In my mind, Jesus is talking about all of the things that Peter has gone through, the good and the bad. Do you love me more than this? And no doubt, he's referring to the moment where Peter turned his back on him. Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And after Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time, how many times? The third time he said this to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And I believe Jesus sent me today to offer you the same invitation that by his blood, through the unmerited gift of grace, that he might forgive you today and that he might restore you as well. So here's what I'd like to invite you to do. Would you stand to your feet? And as you do that, would you bow your heads and close your eyes just as a moment of reverence? When you bow your heads and you close your eyes, it's just like bowing your knee. And as you have flashbacks to all of the moments in your life where you've had encounters with Jesus, the times when you've trusted and you believe, the times when you've turned your back, I just wonder if right now the Holy Spirit is taking you right back to that moment. And maybe for some of you, he's taking you right back to that moment where he's been knocking on the door of your heart for days, weeks, maybe even years. And you've white-knuckled it. And you've said, well, maybe next time. I want to offer you the same moment of restoration that Jesus gave Peter. Jesus gives it to you as well. So I'll ask you this. In your own head and heart, you can answer this. And this is Jesus asking you, not me. Jesus would say to you, do you love me? Jesus would ask you again, do you love me? And for a third time, he would ask you once more, do you love me? In this moment, Jesus restored Peter. And the unmerited grace that Peter had not earned was given to him, and he was forgiven and restored back to God. And that same thing is true and available for you right this moment. A free gift of grace to be forgiven, covered by the blood of Jesus, is on offer for you right now. If you would just simply receive his unbelievable love, the Bible reminds us that God loved you so much that he sent his one and only son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, Pastor, how do I be made right with God? How do I accept this free gift? The Bible lays it out very clearly in Romans. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you would be saved. Meaning, you would be forgiven. The blood of Jesus would be applied to your life. You would be made right with God. And if that's never been a moment that you've stepped into and you've always held on to the pew, I wonder if today would be the day of surrender, that you would actually give in and put your trust in Jesus and receive the gift of faith. Maybe for you, your story is, man, I've met Jesus. I've just walked away. Right now, I just need to be restored back to Jesus. He can do both of those things in this instance. Every week, I lead our church in a prayer. And by the way, it's not a magical prayer. It just simply matters the posture of your heart. Do you mean it? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to receive Jesus? Do you want to be restored? And so for that, I'll invite everyone to pray this out loud. For the benefit of someone who may pray this out loud, confess it with your mouth for the very first time. Would you pray with me? Say, Jesus, I am a sinner and I'm lost without you. Will you forgive me? I believe you are the Son of God. And I believe you've been raised from the dead. Will you save me? Jesus, help me learn to follow you the rest of my days, the best I know how. And friend, I pray and I believe that if you said that, you confessed with your mouth and you believed in your heart, that right now you've been forgiven, you've been given the mercy and the grace of God, the gift of faith, and you've been restored to the Father. I believe that.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.